Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Brian Tetta, executive producer of The View. It's Tuesday, and I'm here with Sarah Haynes. This is Behind the Table.
Maria!
Maria! All right. Today's show was wild. I had no way of seeing it coming. You know, it's always... Every given day, I start the day, and we have our show ready, and I look at it, and I'm like, okay, well, this could go wrong, or this could go wrong, or there might be some conflict here, or this is a problem. But it's always the punch you don't see coming. And today, we started the show, and things are moving on. And then Whoopi gets out of her seat. So what was going on?
Well, so I was staring at the same person.
So you knew what was happening.
Yes, I knew exactly what was happening.
Okay.
There was a man in our eye line directly. He was lifting his phone up, and he kept doing this.
Yeah.
And the woman next to him kept hitting his arm, mm-hmm. like pretty aggressively.
I think it was his wife. Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't actually know if they're together. Mm-hmm. They never had more interaction. But she kept swatting his phone down.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, she kept going, stop it, stop it. And you can hear them.
Right.
I was having a hard time focusing because I kept thinking, is this growing or building?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Whoopi got up and told him, please.
So, I mean, everyone's told before the show to put their cameras away and put their phones away, and it's a distraction. I couldn't see anything because the cameras are blocking that side for me. So when I saw Whoopi got up, I mean, it was a friendly thing, and the guy was fine afterwards and everything, you know, it was fine. And I didn't see exactly what was happening. When she got up, I was nervous. Like, oh, no, what's happening? Is there someone in distress or is someone, you know, heckling? I didn't know what was going on. But, the show went on. It's just one of those things. Then Kathy Griffin is a tremendous guest and always hysterical. She was terrific. It was great to see her. And then finally, we had the Joy story. Now, Joy told the story of a body being dumped on the Long Island Expressway.
Being dumped, falling out of a car with no explanation and her having to continue driving because you can't stop, calling 911, then calling phone a friend. And she called Sam, one of our producers.
Mm-hmm.
And...
who's also who I call when I need something.
You know what? The more I thought about it, the more I thought, I think I would call Sam.
Yeah.
I need someone level-headed. Anna would cry with me. Vicky would be good, too. But, like, cool minds prevail. They got it addressed, but and they know he's okay. The man was inebriated. But a couple questions here. Who's he driving with?
Mm-hmm.
Why did that car not stop?
Mm-hmm.
How do you, even as drunk as I've ever been, just get out of a moving car? They were going 65 miles per hour. I mean, every part of this story is really weird. And what I thought Joy was going to do is leave us hanging. She's like, yeah. And then I got into work and thought, whoa. And I was like, wait, what happened to the body?
So she called me last night at about 6:30. I was getting home from work and she called and I missed the call and she called back seconds later. So my immediate thought is, oh no, what's wrong? And because that's never good. But she told me the story and she's like, I'm worried it was the mob. She was very concerned, and she's like, I don't think I can talk about it on the air tomorrow because what if I witness something?
I feel like the mob is a little sneakier than on commuter hours from the Hamptons dropping a body in the POV. Usually it's the East River or it's nighttime. I watch those movies too.
Well, maybe it was someone escaping out the side, you know?
Well, that's the other thing is as a woman, you think of all these, and a true crime aficionado, you know, that could have been someone's escape.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting out of here.
Or I could have been a dummy because she was in the HOV lane, and sometimes people use those.
Oh, what if this was nothing? No, but she didn't say the arm popped off or anything.
No, she just
said it fell hard.
Yeah, so that was chaos again. So it was a chaotic, crazy show. And then, of course, we had Maria!
Yeah, but honestly, Brian, the best part, and tell me if this is the same for you, it's not the chicken that makes me laugh. It's Joy's squinty, from her toes giggle.
I've
never seen her happier. She comes in, and you could talk about it three times in a row, and she's laughing just as hard the third time.
Yes.
She thinks it's the funny. She keeps going, there's distress, Maria, there's distress. I'm like, she's writing a screenplay about this chicken. I know it.
She's more into this chicken than any topic we've ever done.
Ever.
Yes, so... that was fun. And actually, I often text with my mother throughout the show, which is nice. She watches the show.
Does your dad watch?
No.
But does he listen to the podcast? I thought someone listened to the podcast.
He gave notes on the podcast saying I talk too quickly.
You do. So that's, he okay. seems like a great critic.
So my mother wrote, these are texts from my mother this morning. Holy crap. That was when Whoopi got up.
She's like quite live tweeting the event 80-year-old
yes,
style.
Quite a morning after Joy throws the guy out of the door. Although in a way, it's very interesting. There's an authenticity about this show that you can't turn away from. Thank you, Mom. I think that's true.
But she did turn away. Joy yes. kept driving. She left everything.
Yes. Then I got Kathy's funny.
Kathy is funny.
And finally, at the end of the show, high energy fun, well timed. So there we go. Those are my mother's thoughts on today's show.
I mean, they did raise you to be who you are today. So
I guess so. But I appreciate Mom
watching.
You've
got it in him. Thanks, Mom.
All right. Well, so speaking about Kathy Griffin, she's a longtime friend of the show.
Yeah.
She was with us today for a long segment. How is it being back with her?
It's always fun. And the thing about her and maybe all comedians is you get something from it. You're always laughing.
Mm-hmm.
But today I was a little torn because reading my question was all about the struggle she's had. And it was a pill addiction, a loss of her mother, lung cancer, a divorce.
She's been through the ringer.
And I just looked at her and my heart hurt a little bit. I said to her backstage, you know, I don't know her that well. It's not like she's going to have a moment with me, but I just hugged her and I was like, I hope you're okay. And I think she is. But you almost know what she's going through. So it's hard to take her medicine. You know, this is how mm-hmm. comedians deal with things often. It was hard to go with her on that, knowing how much she's gone through in the last couple of years. But again, her jokes always get me, and she was hilarious. But I just hope she is okay underneath all the joking and the humor.
Right, but what a great way to work through that is
yeah.
the humor, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, she seems to get that. And it sounds like the sold-out performances and everything are filling her joy tank. So
absolutely.
That's amazing.
We talked about The Bachelor wanting a long engagement today and to live in a small New York City apartment with their new match. Did you and Max have a long engagement?
I mean, about a year, which is normal, but I wanted 5 months. I was trying to plan my wedding because I was very much on the baby train. And what I mean is I always wanted babies. Sadly, women carry an inner biological clock.
I was going to say, 5 months, how much on the baby train were you?
How old is Alec?
Yeah.
Well, no, but I was so worried that these eggs were scrambled because I was older that Max thought he'd be single for another decade. He's 5 years younger than me.
Yeah.
So it definitely was not his timeline. But I said, if we know we want to be together and we both want kids eventually, I don't have eventually on my side.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go. So some of our struggles in early marriages, Max is like, I wonder how much more settled we would have felt if we'd had a couple years to just finally just be together. And I'm like, these are privileges we do not have.
Yeah.
So, but I think these guys are young, the bachelor and the fiance. So they're fine. I was 37 on the other hand, and it was like TikTok, mm-hmm. boo-boo, TikTok.
I got married young, and we were married.
You guys were like 21?
No.
Did you drink at your wedding?
I drank at my wedding a lot. I was 28.
Were you able to rent a car on your honeymoon?
I was 28. My wife was 24 and just turned 24. So she was very young.
She was a bebé.
She was. We were married for 7 years before we had our first kid, which was interesting. I mean, you definitely get to know each other.
Did you plan that?
You know, we didn't really plan it, and we didn't really talk about it in the moment. We knew we were going to have children eventually, and we were both working, and we had involved
jobs.
So
when you finally had Grace, were you like, let's try to have this baby, or were you just like not stopping it anymore?
Yeah, well, I think we said like, let's try, but it also wasn't something we talked about a lot beforehand either. But, you know, it felt like good timing. I love my children more than anything, but I definitely wouldn't be quick to give up the 7 years we had when it was just the two of us either.
That's a really nice like space to have. Mm-hmm. Again, I didn't mind giving it up considering what I had to choose between, but to celebrate that a little bit, especially with how hectic weddings are.
Right.
And every woman, well, everybody, I think, gets engaged, wins the wedding, wins the baby. Everyone feels that. Imagine being me. I went from like, if I got pregnant, it was an after school special or an April Fool's joke to mm-hmm. please have babies, but Mom, I'm single. Like, so the pressure was so severe that we barely got to get married before my parents were like, procreate, mm-hmm. procreate.
And
just
boy,
kidding.
Did and, they, you.
And by the way, my dad thinks it was an immaculate conception, so don't tell them I had sex.
Sure. We'll be back in a moment.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' group text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' group text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit. Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
What else is going on? The University of Iowa played last night and beat West Virginia. This is, of course, the team that Caitlin Clark plays for. Did you watch?
I absolutely watched, and I never stay up that late.
Mm-hmm.
But
I needed them to win by 10 to hit a bet, and I did, so I was excited about that.
Oh, my gosh. But you know what? I was really depressed. I would never have turned it off, but at about 2-3 minutes, I thought, what an awful way to go out of this, because they weren't playing well. It's one thing to lose because another team played better. I think Iowa would agree with the turnovers and everything else. They were not playing well, and the defense of West Virginia was ridiculous. They held them so tight on points. So as I watched, I thought, I'm going to cry in bed. This is going to be miserable, and it's only a Monday. But they pulled it out, and I just hope they're spending this week getting ready for this next big game and really having the hard conversations about what they weren't doing yesterday, because they will not be able to win playing like that.
Over the weekend when Caitlin was playing, she let her emotions show on the court because she wasn't playing well. You could see her dad didn't like her attitude at all and was even saying, take her out. What did you think about that?
I loved it. It's probably why I love Caitlin Clark so much and why I love her relatable family, her two brothers, her mom and dad. I don't know them personally, but I actually do know someone who knows them personally. And it's the value system. It's kind of that idea that you can have everything. You can be great. You can be Caitlin Clark. You can never act that way. And he was, her dad was her first basketball coach. And I think in his mind, he's thinking, you're not teaching her any lessons by letting her do that out there, like pull her out. And I don't think Coach Bluter lets her do that either. But I think it was sweet to see the dad, because you realize why she's the person she is today. That was her influence, her dad, her mom, her brothers. So I liked the good old fashioned values.
Last weekend was Palm Sunday, and you posted a photo of you and the kids dressed up for church. Now, you've talked to me a bit about this, but I'm not sure if you've discussed it publicly. Is it important for you that your kids go to church?
Yes, absolutely. Max and I decided before we got married, we had a lot of these conversations. And even though Max is ethnically Jewish, I say that because he doesn't follow the faith or traditions of being Jewish.
Right.
And he's essentially an agnostic. Church was not on his radar. I made a good case, and he agreed that church was essential. It's what I came from. I grew up going to church, and when I say church, I mean every Sunday, not like on the big holiday moments. Like,
right. You
could not get out of church. I tried.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work. So every time in my life, as I've gotten older, I've had to find my own churches, and my mom would always say, you got to go find a church, and I'd shop for a while, get discouraged, sleep in, forget about it, try it again. I finally found a church. A friend of mine asked me to go right after Christmas, and I love this church. So to be able to go and see the kids, they sang in the choir, mm-hmm. and that used to be me. So to like, I had a big full circle moment where I was watching them and I was the parent. The church is very different from the church I grew up in, but it was so sweet. And like Easter, we never really celebrated Easter with the kids because whereas with Christmas, I didn't mind the Santa Claus and, you know, not teaching the birth story yet. Easter felt a little different to me because it is important in mm-hmm. in the faith. And so to talk about a bunny or eggs just didn't feel right. So this is the first time we're going to dye the eggs because yeah. I feel like we kind of have an entry in now that we have them at church. It's just really neat to see.
So they've never had an Easter egg hunt.
They went one time when we went away for spring break a couple years ago. We went to Florida and there was an Easter egg hunt and they're like, Mom, they're like eggs with candy. And I was like, this is a long story. We'll just leave it at that.
Wow. But, all right.
So we're doing the whole thing. And we grew
exciting.
Up dyeing it. Like I'm more right. excited about the egg decorating than
my
the
daughters
kids.
Are very excited about the dyeing of the eggs still. They enjoy decorating them very much.
And I love it.
Yeah.
But and then my son was like, but Mom, our backyard's not even, it doesn't even have good hiding places. And I was like, oh, you have not seen a Hanes bunny egg hunt. Like, this is going to be big.
Okay,
they have no idea.
I just have to throw this out. So these plastic eggs are the actual dyed eggs?
No, I got rid of the plastic eggs. I free-cycled them because I don't approve. So I did, we just, the dyed eggs. But the other day, Sandra did ask Alexa to play Jesus music. And I didn't know what that meant, but they were practicing Palm Sunday music.
Oh.
So she was trying to get, like, Sunday school music. And I was like, baby,
you
I
get
don't
like
think...
Carrie Underwood, Jesus Take the Wheel. Is
yeah,
that what happened?
I was like, oh, yeah. Sweetie, this isn't going to work.
Yeah, well, Christian rock is a whole thing. Yeah. So in my house, the Easter Bunny yeah. hides inside the house.
Yeah, so does the leprechaun and your elf on a shelf. You guys are hardcore.
We have some stuff going on, but I enjoy the hiding places inside the house. Outside's a little tougher.
Every photo we have from childhood is us with Easter baskets, our hair all astern, little sleep. You know, it was always
but
outside.
And when I think of you, I think you growing up in a cornfield, so that probably makes
there
sense.
There was no cornfield, but I do have okay. pictures if you want to see.
It's a visual medium.
I know. That doesn't work.
Yeah, this is audio.
Yeah. Oh, geez. So yeah. they can hear me.
Yes. All right. So going back to Easter stuff. So what about the basket? Because you're not like a big, like, processed candy person, obviously.
No, and we're still going through Christmas organic candy because Santa yes. knows us so well that yes. he did a phenomenal job in right. getting that kind of thing. So, no, I'm not bringing more candy into our house.
My kids get, like, Sephora gift cards and, like,
because yeah, it's you very, married up.
I guess so.
She is a boss at every holiday, and that's why I want to be married to her. But she's so good.
I love some jelly beans, I got to say. I wouldn't mind getting
yeah,
some
jelly
beans.
Yeah, I don't mind if you get the cherry.
Beans.
The problem is you get a bag, and there's always the crappy flavors.
I want the mix.
No
I even
one
want
wants
the bad
cotton
flavors
candy.
Just for the nostalgia. I want
no,
the old school good jelly beans.
That's going really far for nostalgia. I'm not doing that.
All right. Well,
okay.
Have you picked out the outfits for the kids?
So I have a little, Sandra loves dresses. So mm-hmm. she has a little dress. Alec, I think, is going to wear his bow tie and his suspenders, which he wore to perform on Palm Sunday.
Okay.
And then Caleb gets whatever's left over. So yeah. hoping for some clean, unstained, unripped clothes.
All right.
But no, we don't have anything specific. But we are going to go over at another friend's house for mimosas and more Easter egg hunts after.
All right. Last thing I'm going to throw out there. A competition between the kids to who finds the most eggs and they get a
prize. Sadly, this happens in our house. I want to tell them it's not a competition because we used to fight as siblings because my sister stole all the eggs. And yeah. I don't know if I've gotten over it yet. Again, these are things I want to iron out for my children. I'm going to tell them, go find a few and then I'm going to hold them back.
Okay.
You know,
I like a competition that ends with a prize for the winner.
Brian, this feels so spiritual. I love this.
Well, again, it's an Easter bunny.
Nothing
not
like
Jesus
teaching the children how to appreciate the holiday.
We discussed the meaning of the holiday, of course, and we discussed the biblical stuff and all that. Just separate the giant rabbit and the candy and the eggs.
The giant rabbit is scary.
All right. We have a call that I thought you would want to hear.
Yes.
Hey, Brian. Nick from Iowa. One of your favorite Bry guys out here, by the way. Love the podcast. Absolutely love it. Sarah, I love your energy so much. It is so positive and so cheerful. And I always tell myself, when I grow up, I want to be like Sarah Haynes. And then I thought, I feel like Sarah thinks the same thing. Love you so much, Sarah.
Oh, Nick, that's the sweetest message. And I love that you're from Iowa. So you get me.
I'm trying to see right now whether you're crying so we can continue this
No,
streak.
I'm not
you're
crying.
Close.
And you will yeah. not make me cry again.
Yeah.
Like, I've got people
something.
Looking out for me.
Yeah.
Never mind. I was going to make a joke. But Nick, it's funny because your energy and your voice and all of that, I probably would say the same things that, you know, without knowing you, you kind of sound like you're already there. And then I wonder how old I must seem to him that he wants to be me when he grows up.
No, he says, but he feels like you want to be you when you grow up, too.
Oh,
that's what made me laugh. He said, I want to be Sarah Haynes when I grow up, and I feel like you do, too.
Okay, Nick, I've got something even better. I want to be my daughter when I grow up. If you met Sandra, she's like Sarah times 100. She is hilarious and sweet and joyful and silly and tough and all the things. So we can all aim higher. And when you see Sandra one day on TV or in my social something, you'll understand why I aspire to be her. So we all are reaching. What?
Well, no, it's fine. I'm curious about this because he didn't have a question, but I do want to get your opinion on this because you have this reputation of being the positive, cheerful Sarah Haynes.
Yeah.
And there is definitely, that is who you are in many ways, but are people ever surprised when in real life you kind of push back on them a little bit or that you aren't cheerful and happy? Because, I mean, you're honest about how you struggle sometimes with your feelings and mental health and things like that. And you've talked about occasionally being depressed.
Yeah.
Is that hard when your public persona is so much wrapped up in being positive? I didn't even know that you're trying to do that, but I think it is what people take away from
you. Well, so I think people sometimes falsely assign that I'm nice, like
yes.
That term nice. You're just nice, and or you're super positive and upbeat. I would say that comes as a kind of a symptom of being grateful. Mm-hmm. So I always say if you ground yourself in gratitude, that's what helps. And the reason I say that is not because it's a virtue or it's the right thing to do. The other day, Alec was really upset. But I told him, I said, one trick I use, Alec, is at the beginning of the day, I start and I think of three things I'm grateful for. And I knew mine would be more profound, like shelter or food or my family. And he's like, I love my watch. And I was like, there's one. Mm-hmm. And so he went through and named three. And I said, whenever you get a little sad or you start to come back to those three things, center on things you like. And then at the end of the day, we can talk about it again. And so that's a simplistic way of looking at when you really come back to the basics, like, you know, I recently went through a pretty big loss through my friends. I stop and say, I've got another day. Like, that's how basic. You know, I'm breathing. I have food. I have, and hopefully people have those things. But those are the things that you're stopping and saying, I'm going to bring this all the way back to what, you know, that good part. And then everything else is a bonus. It's when you let go of expectations, when life stops being about all these things you wish you had and you want and all that, like, and come back to what you do have and operate from there. The rest is frosting. Like, so the happiness comes from not because I'm a happy, easy feeling person. It's because I do the work to kind of ground it.
Right.
And go from there.
I mean, you are a nice person. You are a cheerful person.
I'm
but
nice,
I think you're.
But it sounds like I'm doing nice for nice's sake.
Right.
Don't repeat me. That's not a sentence, but
no,
it's not even a word. But yes. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing it to
but
be
nice. I think you are open in the mornings and in the days. And I think you are open to listening and open to experiences
yeah.
and things like that. And I think that gives the perception that you're perpetually cheerful. And I
yeah.
think that's not, and nobody is. Nobody
no.
can be.
Well, and sometimes I'll get backlash. When I first came back to the show, I remember there was a pretty big influx of people. I don't know how big, but they were saying things like, you're different now. You came back and you're different. And I'm kind of like, one, I hope I'm a little different. It's been 2 years. And if I haven't grown, that's also bad. But two, I'm not different in a lot of my beliefs and things. You're just hearing me more because I'm more confident.
Mm-hmm.
So if confidence was my crime.
Right.
But they all of a sudden are shocked they don't agree with me. They're like, I agree with you most of the time, but you are wrong. And I'm like, yeah, I get to be wrong too. And people are not going to agree with me and they're not going to like me. And just because you think or falsely assign the sunshine card to me, trust me, ask Max, ask my parents. Like,
ask Brian.
Ask Brian. Not every moment of my life is that. You know, it's the work is more drudgery. It's a little cloudier. It's harder, but it makes the highs better because you worked for them.
Yes. Thank you for joining me, Sarah Haynes.
Thank
Tomorrow,
you.
I will be back with the very nice Joy Behar. As always, the number to call or to text us with questions is right here in the episode description. You know, I get a lot of questions for Sarah, nothing for me. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying you have to ask me a question, but I wouldn't mind it. I like, you know, usually it's like, oh, I'm a Bri guy, which I appreciate. But then it goes on to the host. It's fine. You guys do you. Behind the Table will be dark this Friday, March 29th, and on Monday, April 1st.
The Easter Bunny is making their way to the Brian's house.
That's right. But I do want to say that we have new shows every day next week. So I've seen online people think we're on vacation next week. Nope. We have a repeat on Friday, and then we are new shows all next week. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' group text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' group text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.